Hello, and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
The Secular Overeaters Comparative 12-Step Study Group. My name is Dee, and I am a compulsive overeater and the facilitator for today. The purpose of this group is to discuss the 12 steps, one at each meeting, and to share our personal experiences with the step or anything related to the theme of the step. Many of us are inspired by the 12-step approach, but find that some of the original language and concepts don't align with our personal beliefs. During this meeting, we will read several different interpretations of the steps and discuss, as the varied individuals that we are, what makes sense to us and what helps our recovery. As always, please take what you like and leave the rest. This group does allow crosstalk, but please make sure it's supportive. We don't have time limits on these shares, so please be aware of how many people are in the meeting and be mindful of the length of your share. This month, we will be discussing step one. We will be reading 8 versions of the step: the OA traditional, free thinker, Buddhist, Cleveland atheist, humanist, practical, proactive, and SOS secular organization for sobriety. These sources can be found in the literature and websites listed in the chat and in the guide link. Please take a turn reading a version of the step and say pass when you are finished. I will call on hands in the order raised. Please, Tam, will you start us off?
Step one versions, OA principle, honesty. Traditional OA and free thinker, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Buddhist, we admitted our addictive craving and recognized its consequences in our lives. Pass.
Matt, please.
Cleveland, admitted we were powerless over other people, random events, and our own persistent negative behaviors, and that when we forget this, our lives become unmanageable. Humanist, we accept the fact that all our efforts to stop eating have failed. Pass.
AJ, please.
Practical, admitted we were caught in a self-destructive cycle and currently lacked the tools to stop it. Proactive, I face reality and I am not able to control what I do, and this has serious consequences. SOS, I have a life-threatening problem. My best efforts to establish sobriety have been unsuccessful. I believe that I have choices and that my life no longer need be unmanageable. I accept responsibility for myself and my recovery. Thanks.
We are now open for discussion about the steps. What does step one mean to you? And what are your impressions of the different versions we just read? A link to the screen share handout is in the chat if you'd like to continue looking at the steps during the discussion. Please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn, and please allow everyone a chance to talk before speaking again. Who would like to begin? Oh, Matt?
Yeah, I'm Matt, a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I've been in OA and SO for a few years now. And, you know, this is obviously the first step, the first thing you read and the first concept you study. And, you know, in some sense, it's the easiest. Wouldn't be here at all if I didn't recognize that I had a problem. But it's still good to be reminded. It feels, you know, it's a stark reminder that I still have problems I can't manage on my own. You know, and I'm not living the life I want because I can't manage that on my own. But I can manage it with help. So happy to be rereading this. Thanks. I'll pass.
AJ, please.
Hi, I'm AJ. I'm a recovering compulsive eater and sugar addict in North Carolina or wherever I am. And I think it was no mistake that I read the things that I read, the last three. And I read them now. I have the thing up on my screen, and I read them now almost as one. Ooh, starting with admitted we were caught in a self-destructive cycle and ending with I accept responsibility for myself and my recovery. And I would say that's about where I am right now. I'm struggling again. And I've let a life problem sort of be the excuse or the reason for overeating. And for me, I cannot control what I do as long as I am in the poor me attitude, you know, of I've got this problem and it can't be solved. And so I need to eat, blah, blah, blah. And I love those last three, the practical, proactive, and SOS. I had never heard the definition of SOS, the Secular Organization for Sobriety, Save Our Lives. And I like that idea. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you. Tam, would you like to share?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Tam. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm really grateful for this meeting because someone mentioned that they go through these steps and almost like AJ was saying, they sort of pick and choose which of the different versions work for them. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Cleveland all the way or practical all the way. And that was a different thought for me. And so that's what I am hoping to do. And when I look at these, like I really like something like SOS. And I'm torn between the idea of whether I feel like the first step needs to mention food or not. Because, you know, for me, I am particularly, in the traditional sense, powerless over food. And my life had become unmanageable. So in some senses, that works for me. But I also really like the SOS one about I have a life-threatening problem. My best efforts to establish sobriety have been unsuccessful. I believe that I have choices and that my life no longer need be unmanageable. I accept responsibility for myself and my recovery. And so maybe I will actually go in and slightly change that and say, I have a life-threatening problem in terms of food, you know, something like that. And so I'm really looking forward to trying to attend these meetings regularly so that I can build my own set of steps. Thanks.
Thank you. Janice?
Hi, everybody. I'm Janice. I live in Colorado. And this is my first time at this meeting. I've been to other secular meetings. I've been in OA about 30 years, except for a few times I took a break, which doesn't work. But anyway, one of the things about step one I've learned is that, I've heard it said that maintainers for abstinence, maintainers are problem solvers. And I know living in the solution rather than the problem is what recovery is all about. But I also know that for me, living in problems gives me an excuse to eat. And years ago, I figured out I was focusing on problems all the time. I'm a person that just really zeroes in on problems with myself and other people. And I had a career that was focused on that kind of thing. But it just gives me an excuse to eat. And that's not what I want. So again, it's like backwards almost, like the problems may lead me to eating, but the eating leads me to focusing on problems. And it's a cycle. And so I have to make sure I try to live in solutions. And one thing I like about the secular approach is that it does have that personal responsibility component, because some people that I know and love just say, well, I just turn it over to God. And for me, that doesn't work, because it takes away that feeling that not just control, but that I have a responsibility for my own happiness. And a therapist told me that once, and I got mad at it. But anyway, thanks for letting me share on the first time that I show up. So good to see everybody.
Thank you. Jan?
Hi, thank you. I'm Jan, a compulsive overeater. I have been, I guess, in the rooms and in participating in secular overeaters and OA for about 6 months now. And when I first came into the program, step one seemed like an absolute no-brainer to me. I you know, if I had thought that I could solve this any other way, I would have. And probably over time, every one of these statements has resonated with me. The ones that resonate most strongly with me today are the Buddhist and the practical. And I really struggle sometimes with that idea of the word powerless, not because I don't think I'm powerless. I've absolutely demonstrated that. But that using the word powerless really doesn't give me a lot of hope, being a non-believer in a higher power. A lot of hope that that powerlessness can change. But what was different for me for the Buddhist one is that admission of an addictive craving, that I don't simply have a calories in, calories out, I eat too much problem, but it's the binge eating and it's the why I eat. And I think coming to OA was the eye opening. That's what I need to focus on. This is the challenge for me. It's the addictive craving. And it is a cycle. And the more I rely on my past ways of managing that cycle that didn't work, the less likelihood it is that I'm going to break out of that cycle. So those are the two pieces that resonate with me. Thank you. Pass.
We will now take turns reading different authors' insights on step one, and then share our thoughts. Again, please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn and say pass when you're done. And would anyone like to start reading? Janice, please.
Okay. So the first person, I don't know how to say that last name. I have been living under the mistaken belief I can control what other people think of me by showing them only what I wanted them to see. It's called impression management. Should I go on or what? Okay, I'll read the next one. We throw ourselves into arranging the outcome we desire, and the outcome we desire is to keep on doing what we are doing. We want to feel good about ourselves without facing the pain and difficulty of admitting that we aren't able to control other people, the random events around us, and even our own persistent negative behavior. Pass.
Emma?
Stephanie Covington. By taking the first step, we regain the power to decide for ourselves. We can choose whether we want to continue to try to control the things we can't, like our addictive cycle, or control the things we can, like our participation in recovery. Pass.
David?
Hi, David E., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in North Carolina, or wherever I am. Jeffrey Munn, being fully honest about our behavior is a crucial part of recovery. You can't get better from something you don't acknowledge. Pass.
Wendy?
OA 12 and 12. For the first time in our lives, we recognized, acknowledged, and accepted the truth about ourselves. We are compulsive eaters. We do have an incurable disease. Diabetics who need to be on insulin risk blindness and possible death unless they recognize the truth of their diabetic condition, accept it, and take the prescribed medication. So it is with compulsive eaters. overeaters. As long as we refuse to recognize that we have this debilitating, progressive, and ultimately fatal disease, we are not motivated to get the daily treatment that brings our recovery. Pass.
Tam?
Serge Prengel, in step one, you have the stark realization that you have been in denial. You have a problem that you can't ignore, and what you've been doing about it has essentially been making things worse. Pass.
Thank you. We are now open for discussion about these interpretations. Jan?
Thanks. The Martha Cleveland one is, it could have been written, you know, by me, for me, for sure. That idea of, you know, the outcome we desire. I want to recover from my binge eating disorder, but I want to do it doing what I do. I want to take the easy actions and not the hard actions, or I want to take, you know, the actions on the days I feel good, but not on the days that I don't feel good. And I think that's where I've been struggling. I know I have some days where I am investing more in my recovery than in others. And what I'm telling myself is that practice makes better. So if on all of the good days I'm doing all my recovery behaviors, then over time I have some faith that that will make those behaviors easier to choose on the days that aren't as easy, or maybe half day at a time. So I nearly really need to remind myself of that idea of just for today. Otherwise, I fall very much into this trap. But the other piece I really like is the Serge Prengel, that again, you know, what you've been doing about it has been making things worse. So I need to, every time I think of something I need to do, I need to ask myself, is that the easy path? If that's the easy path, that's probably not the path that's going to take you one step forward towards what you want to do. Thanks. Pass.
Tam?
Hi, I'm Tam. I'm a compulsive overeater. Sorry, I'm trying to go back to the list. You know, I really like the Jeffrey Munn statement in here, and it might work well for me to incorporate that into my version of step one. It says, being fully honest about our behavior is a crucial part of recovery. You can't get better from something you don't acknowledge. And this goes back to one of the steps that have that says, I have a life-threatening problem, because I have a lot of medical issues. And despite that, I find that I don't acknowledge them or give them the place in my life that they are due, even though they can be life-threatening. I sort of acknowledge what is front and center causing me the most problems. But if it's not causing me problems, but it's still an issue, it kind of just lays out in the background. And I do think that I need to work on getting honest about those issues, because those issues would also reflect a change in my food. And I think it's just about getting more and more honest. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Matt?
Matt, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. I think this Jeffrey Munn, the first sentence, is pretty important about being fully honest about our behavior is a crucial part of recovery. You can't get better from something you don't acknowledge. And it took me a long time to be honest with myself about, to acknowledge the fact that I was powerless over food. I mean, I've known for decades that I have a problem with eating, with food, and with sugar especially, and, you know, it's causing all kinds of health problems and other problems that I need to solve. So I acknowledged that, but what I never acknowledged until I came to OA was that I can't solve it on my own, that I'm on my own, I'm helpless and powerless. I can't do anything, but I can deal with these problems, you know, with the help of the fellowship of OA, of working together with other people. And that, I mean, that sounds defeatist or, you know, removing any agency from myself when I say I'm powerless, but it's the opposite. I've finally, after many decades of denying it, I finally found the path to a solution to, you know, to improve my life and live the way I want to and improve my health. And that is, you know, through OA and secular leaders. Yeah, so that's what I have today. I'll pass. Thanks.
Elena, like to share?
Yeah. Hi, Elena. So I liked Beth's insight. That, like, I guess, yeah, like trying to like, I guess impression management, or like just like showing people what you want them to see and like hiding the rest, definitely resonates with me. But like, I feel like being OA takes a lot of time, and like a lot of like self-reflection and writing and meetings and calling and texting. It's just like a lot of time. So, and like, it's like something that like I can't, or like I don't like share with people. So it's like funny to think how like, I feel like other people have so much more time. It's like, no, I have the same amount of time, but I'm just allocating that to something that like, I don't share with like anyone. So it's like, I don't know, it's kind of funny. But then also, I guess like whenever I do meet someone like who does say that they're in like one of the 12-step programs, like, or they mention something that's like kind of like a 12-step type thing, like if they say that the Serenity Prayer, if they say it like, oh, like keep your side of the street clean, or if they say something that's just like so like from this program, then I don't know, I feel like I like them more. I don't say like, oh yeah, like I'm in like a 12-step program too, but like when I find out someone else is, I'm like, oh, okay, you're also a human. You have like, I don't know, you get it. So it's funny how I keep it secret, but I always find people that are in it more likable. So yeah, I like Beth's insight. Thanks.
Dina?
Hello everyone, Dina, overeater, binger, sugar addict. And I read tonight here, a self-destructor. I want to combine the versions and the insights. It struck me with the reading of the versions, the powerlessness, the denial, how I've been lying to myself. And then in the insights, this undeniable truth of Serge Pringle, what I've been doing about it has essentially been making things worse. In the versions with the Buddhist, we admit our addictive craving and recognize its consequences in our lives. And I realize that I am so good, I'm extremely good at not recognizing the consequences. I experience the consequences. I feel it in my body. I feel it with my brain fog, but I don't realize it. It's as if I don't want to hear it, see it, acknowledge it, make it information that I keep with me, take in. But to look at it in the way that whatever I'm doing, I'm making it worse, this self-destructing, really hit home tonight. Thank you for everyone here so that I could hear what I needed to hear, especially for tonight and my week to come. It's already evening here in South Africa, but I have a new hope for the next 24 hours. Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy, would you like to share?
The Stephanie Covington, and I don't have it up here, but I'd never thought about it before. It says, control the things we can't, like the addictive cycle. Well, what do you mean I can't control the addictive cycle? I keep trying to control the addictive cycle. To hand that over, that all I can do is keep participating in recovery, but that's a new thought for me. It's mind boggling, actually. There's a story. My son was in training to become a doctor, and he called once. He was in the emergency room to tell us about an experience that a man came in who was 35, had three children. He was a serious alcoholic. He'd been told if he had another drink, he would die. He had a drink. His wife brought him in, dropped him off. He was dying. My son called the wife and said, "You got to come back." She said, "I'm done." And he died. And they're running around. I mean, it was a bleed in his throat that the alcohol had so damaged his body. And my son is not an addict. And he couldn't understand, like, why would this guy have a beer when he knew it would, and we don't believe it. We don't believe that's really going to happen. Its story has stayed with me for years. Like, why on earth would this man risk everything for a drink? And he's an addict like us. I'll pass.
Thank you. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you all for participating in this group. Together, we do get better. If you'd like to hear recordings from past alternative step discussion meetings, you can check the alternative 12 steps page on secularovereaters.org.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.